For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Here we are live at Mount Woodgie Studios in Currumbin on the Gold Coast. Today's guests are two twin brothers, two boxers, two men that have had each other's back since day one, came all the way up from Victoria to chase world titles off the connection of Denny Green. Boys, welcome. Jason, Andrew.
Thanks very much,
the
mate.
The Maloney twins are in the studio. Hey, welcome, guys. How good?
Yeah, awesome, thanks, mate. Thanks for having us on the show.
This is going to be fun. We were sitting here just before, and I was explaining to the boys that how do people tell the difference? A mate of mine was saying today, Russell, that, you know, took him 3 months. I thought, far out. How am I going to do this? But, Jason, Andrew.
He's got it.
It's happening.
He's got it in 5 minutes. Russell, we're going to pick a game up, mate.
Let's go back to the beginning, hey? Two young fellas from Melbourne that I believe were more into AFL.
Yeah, we were.
Let's hear the story.
Well, like most Aussies and Melburnians, loved our footy when we were younger, but we had an interest in all sports, really. We grew up in a family where sport was pretty big and, you know, our dad didn't push us into anything, but always just encouraged us to, you know, participate in sport and live an active lifestyle. So we tried a few different sports, footy, basketball, motorbike riding.
You, Andrew, and Jason are not what you call tall men. Now, you just said AFL, basketball, was it?
Yeah. That wasn't going to work, was it?
Fuck. How's that? That's even like, I understand there's little people, and I get it, mate. Small people are amazing, but you guys are just little fellas.
Yeah, mate. That's right.
What happened to horse racing and riding jockeys? Can you ride horses?
No, I'm terrible. That's a problem.
Oh, shit.
I'm 5'5"
Andrew, how tall are you?
I'm 5'4" maybe.
Ooh, has this been a little bit of a thing over the last few years? Or, you know, like, I'm going to be taller than you sort of thing?
No, I stunted his growth, I think, but he can tell you a bit about that later on.
Who's the oldest?
I'll blame him
I'm a minute older. Yeah.
Wow.
Jason's a minute older. No, yeah, so we tried a lot of different sports, and for us, we just loved AFL. We had a footy in our hand 24/7, and we wanted to be AFL players. We just lived and breathed it. We're pretty good. We were small, but we both won a couple of best and fairest, a couple of premierships, things like that, but only in the junior footy. I'm not saying we'll, you know, world beaters, but one pre-season, we weren't really doing too much. And we thought, we saw a few AFL teams playing, doing a bit of boxing for pre-season just to get fitter. And we thought, let's have a go at this and let's try and get an edge up on the rest of the competition. So we nagged our old man, said, can you take us down to the boxing gym? And he was sort of just testing us. He sort of made us nag him for about probably 3 or 4 months to make sure we're proper serious. And eventually he goes, yeah, right, let's go, I'll take us down. And that was pretty much it, mate. We just loved it from the first day. We both just wanted to go to boxing,
It's really interesting. I had Barry Hall on the show a few episodes ago. One thing with Barry was his dad wanted him to box.
Yeah.
And a very heartfelt story too, you know, to become the greatest, like you both men will become.
Yeah.
You know, you're blessed, I guess, to have that family support
beside you.
Barry's dad wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
And Barry just wanted to kick a footy in the park with his mates. And, you know, but here he is all these years later chasing his boxing dream after retirement in AFL. It's just interesting how you talk about, you know what I mean, your dad happy for you to get out, kick the footy. And,
the opposite to Barry's old man. I think he'd prefer to watch us play footy than get punched in the head. But he's just, you know, he never pushed us into boxing at all. He didn't box himself, but he just supported us and wanted us to do whatever we wanted to do. So he knew that we loved boxing, so he just supported us all the way.
I think he'd prefer it wasn't we didn't turn professional and it wasn't what we did for a living, but he 100% supports us and knows that's what we want to do, so supports us all the way.
So what was the competitive start in the amateurs? Like, you know, I mean, you both guys. You both was it, so, did both of you drop seven?
I lost my first seven fights.
I was that bad, mate.
All right, well, hang on. We don't want to get the gloves on yet, boys.
I only dropped three.
Three, okay.
Still pretty shy.
So can we, because you're identical twins, we can just call it 10 and round it off?
Yeah, you know? That's it. Well, 10 and 0.
0 and 10.
Yeah, so great start.
So you've got in there and you've started, obviously, learning the ropes, as they say.
Yeah. Started training at 13. But, yeah, as Jason mentioned, at that stage, we'll... still playing footy and sort of trying to juggle both. So it took us 3 years to have a fight.
That's good.
And then, yeah, which is a good
That's
thing.
That's really good.
Obviously, we wasn't training hard enough because we still managed to lose.
Yeah, but in saying that too, I'm a big believer that I think to be a great winner, you've got to be a great loser.
Yeah.
And people will contradict that and say, nah, you're wrong, Simo. Well, that's my fucking opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that if I've been beaten at something, it's made me work harder to not let that happen again. And you know, it's not a loss, it's a lesson, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I think that we're given these lessons to enable us to become great.
Yeah.
You guys are on the path to greatness. You're already ticking some of the biggest boxes, and we're going to get into that later in this show. But, you know, I want to know more about the journey together. I mean... this is the Clink Stories of Redemption. People have been hearing, listening to some pretty hardcore stories, and I know you guys follow and support the podcast, so thank you both.
No worries.
This is a different story. What I want is to share with the world out there what it's like to be identical twins, as close as you are, competitive as you are, whether it be on the table tennis table or whether it's, you know, in the gym. But you are. You're absolutely just fucking like one person, although with, you know, differences. But when it comes to that sort of thing, your mindset, your drive and your want, is you can't say it's any different, is it?
No, we are very, very similar people and obviously very, very close. We spend just about all day, every day with each other and have since we were born. So we're, extremely close. We push each other pretty hard and we are very competitive. But I think it's been a massive advantage for us, to be honest.
You do?
Yeah, because we've always got each other there to sort of push us on and try and get better. And, you know, if Andrew does something one day and he's getting the better of me, then it sort of pushes me, motivates me and encourages me to get better. And we just keep pushing each other to new heights. So Jason said, like, we were super competitive with each other growing up. And we still are. Like, we'll still push each other every session. And even on the running track, we're trying to outdo each other and beat each other. But back in the day, it was when we'd spar, we'd try and kill each other and try and win the spar.
Absolutely.
And we'd end up rolling around on the floor and trying to take the gloves off. These days, we realise that it's not us that we need to beat. It's the rest of the world. So we try and help each other these days. And Jason will sort of give me advice on what he sees that I could improve on or doing wrong. And I'll do the same for him. And... yeah, as you mentioned, like, we've got the best team in the world, but it is like having another trainer and someone who knows you really well that...
it's you against the world.
Yeah.
That's who you've got to beat.
Mm.
I've never heard an athlete speak like that.
We were probably more the same sort of size back then, I would say, and probably walked around at pretty close to the same weight. But we both wanted to go to the Commonwealth Games in Delhi 2010, and they changed the weight divisions around in... that year, and we both wanted to qualify for the Australian team. So we were both competing. I was at 51 and Jason was at 54, which were probably a good weight class for both of us then.
Realistically, it's just a couple litres of water.
Yeah. But they changed the weight divisions to 49, 52, 56. Jason decided that he wanted to go at 52, and I probably... 52 probably would have been my comfortable weight as well. But so we could both make the team and represent Australia, I said to Jason, no, you go 52 and I'll get down to 49 kilos. I made the weight. I made 49 kilos. Jason, we both qualified for the Australian team, which was just a massive buzz for us and our family. And everyone was stoked. But obviously you got the tryouts. Then you got probably a year or year and a half that I had to hold that weight until... the games came around. And
surely that couldn't have been healthy for you.
No, I barely ate a thing for that year and a half. And
wow.
And that's why I blame Jason for stunting my growth.
Because you were trying to be the kind brother
yeah, that's right.
and help a brother out.
yeah, that's
and instead yeah. of bitch in the ass.
Yeah.
Like let's and I want to just go back in a minute to getting through your amateurs to being recognised and qualifying for a Commonwealth. But while we're talking about weight and stuff like that, I think it's important for people to understand that as well. Like that couldn't have been healthy and mentally, how did that test you over 12 months? Because at any time you could have blown out.
Yeah, and I did a few times because I couldn't to hold my weight around that was extremely difficult. It wasn't natural for my body to be at that weight, so I couldn't even have a rest day on a Sunday like we normally would, and the rest of the team would have that rest day, and I'd chuck the sweatsuit on and go for a run because I knew if I didn't, I'd wake up the next day and you know be 5-6 kilos overweight, and the coach would give me a clip around the ears. So yeah, I couldn't take a day off and had to watch everything that went in my mouth for a long time, and yeah, it drained you. It's a mental thing more than anything. We had fights in between that period where you're on the Australian team, and I remember we had a tournament, and I won that tournament. They sent us home for, I think it was a week we went home. We were living at the AIS in Canberra at that point, and they sent us home for a week, and I just won a fight, and I went home and lived the life of a normal kid and put on 11 kilos in 1 week. And
wow.
we went back to the AIS and they weighed us and they couldn't believe it. They blew up.
Wow.
yeah. Couldn't wait for the games to be over. I mean, desperately wanted to win a medal more than anything, but I couldn't wait to get that out of the way so I could move up a division. First Commonwealth Games in 2010. I think we should backtrack. We both...
Let's do that.
So London 2012 Olympics was our absolute dream. That's what we were in boxing for. So after going to the Commonwealth Games 2010, both of us, we were thinking we're going to be going to the London 2012 Olympics, and that's what our whole life was based around, was both of us going there and basically dedicated our lives to that for years. And both didn't work, just did what we could to get by off not much at all.
So living queer, very humble.
Spent a lot of time in Canberra at the AIS, and they gave you $280 a month to live on as an athlete. So
there is some contribution to assist you guys.
So we both sold our cars and decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to give it a crack full time and let's make the Olympic team. So did that, and basically we had beaten everyone in our division and we thought we were shoo-in to go to the Olympics. And trials came around and trained our absolute ass off for it and probably trained too hard and left it in the gym a bit. But Jason lost at those trials. I don't know what you want to say about
it. Sounds like it's a very sore point for both of you because it's that one opportunity in life you're going to get. And
yeah,
once it goes, it's gone, eh?
Yeah, and I learned a big lesson there because I wanted to be Olympian more than anything in the world. But because I wanted it so bad, I trained like ruthless, and I overcooked myself, like Andrew said. I left it in the gym. I got to the first fight and performed really well, but you got to back it up and fight 3 or 4 days in a row. And on the second day, I was just burnt out. I had gone way too hard in the training and just wanted it too much. And I lost the fight against the guy that I'd beaten, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks prior. So I knew I was better than him. I knew I could beat him, but I shot myself in the foot by wanting it too hard and wanting it too bad and training too hard. So I take the blame for that. But then Andrew was in the final the next day and I sort of thought, look, I've blown it. And I was obviously devastated, crying, and the dream was gone because I'm not going to hang around. Olympics is only every 4 years. I'm not going to hang around for 4 years doing what we just explained, living on nothing.
I think a lot of them too, once they get to that, and if they don't make it, it's either forget boxing or go pro.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I was, as I said, I was devastated and everything, but I was trying to sort of cover it up and be strong because Andrew was fighting for his Olympic dream the next day. So I just sort of went to my room and cried my eyes out and hid away and didn't want to see anyone. But next day I went to the venue to watch Andrew go and qualify and become an Olympian and support him. And
how did you feel, Andrew, knowing that Jason, because obviously you would have taken on that weight, knowing your brother's just shattered now.
Yeah.
Dream's gone.
Watching him, I was really, really devastated. But it probably made me even more hungry too as well to go out the next day and just tear it apart and make sure I won. And I've watched the fight probably 50 times. And
another point
and
situation.
And I don't know how I didn't win the fight, but
wow.
Yeah, I didn't get the decision, even though I beat that guy three times. We'd fought three times and I beat him all three. And yeah, they thought he won that particular time, and there goes my Olympic dream as well. So
yeah, we were absolutely devastated. And like I took my loss because I knew I didn't perform and that I'd overcooked myself, but I was so bitter towards boxing because I saw Andrew win his fight and just get absolutely
which was
rocked.
A double kick in the nuts.
Yeah. And then we went home, and as I said, we were full-time amateur boxers, so we got home and we had nothing.
Both didn't have a car, both didn't have a job, both had no money in the bank, and we're going, what are we doing this for?
Did you actually at that point look at each other and just go, we're done, this is...
Yeah.
And we've got to find something else for life now.
We did, yeah. And, I caught up with some of our mates and they were buying their first homes and that, and we didn't have a cent in the bank and had nothing. And I remember our dad sort of let us dwell on it a little bit, and then he sat us down and said, boys, it's time to, you know, find a job, move on with life. The Olympic
so
dream's over.
So dad's a realist and very supportive, but at the same time, I suppose, slapped you in the face to say, this is life.
Yeah, because we were both pretty bitter towards boxing, so we weren't training at the time. We didn't have a job, we didn't have nothing, we were just living at home. And
and he also knew that we gave it absolutely everything we had, and he said, boys, look, you're 21, you gave it a crack, it wasn't meant to be, but maybe it's time to move on in your life now and get a job and, you know, set yourselves up for your future.
So does Andrew and Jason get a job?
Yeah, I went out and started a landscape apprenticeship, did that for three and a half years, and, mate, I did a bit of landscaping, and then I moved on to plumbing and did a plumbing apprenticeship as well. And the Plumbers Union, who have been massive supporters of us since day one, said, look, we're going to look after you. Come be one of us. Come do a plumbing apprenticeship and have that behind you.
No way.
To fall back on. Whenever you need time off for a fight, it's there. You can have the time off for the fight. If you need to go overseas for a training camp, you can have the time off. They were really awesome to me.
That's rare, isn't it? I mean, unless you come from Melbourne and you've got the old side talkers down there in your pocket, and you know.
It got to a stage where, again, Andrew was a personal trainer at that stage, and
stop it.
I'm no tradesman, but Andrew's had a show.
Yeah. But the reason
I'm not
that,
picking up a tool.
Nah, he's the worst standing man.
You do it, Jason. I'm not doing it.
I wouldn't let him go near a shovel.
Oh, really?
Oh, he'd kill himself. But
oh, I love the way he's looking out for each other.
But no, the reason I mentioned that is because he was doing a little bit of personal training, but he was living the life of a professional boxer, training twice a day, and doing everything right in between sessions, and really, you know, doing what you need to do if you want to reach the top. And I was in the smoko shed during lunch break, you know, exhausted, and I'd go on Instagram or something. I'd say, Andrew just finished a workout, and I'm bloody halfway through a working day. And then I'd finish my day at work, and then I'd go to the gym, and I'd say Andrew had this pep in his step ready to put in a real hard session. And, mate, I was knackered. I'd just been working 8 hours. So as much as they were looking after and supporting me, and it was unbelievable, and, you know, they were giving me this carrot where I've got something to fall back on, an apprenticeship and everything. I can be a qualified plumber if I ever need to be. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to go as far as I can as a professional boxer, and I just knew that if I've only got one chance, I'm going to give this absolutely everything I've got, and I'm not worried about a plan B. I believe in myself. Let's go be a professional boxer.
It took me to win gold at the Commonwealth Games to get over that. And then that sort of put me at peace with that whole thing and missing out on the Olympics and them ripping me off to him. And he came to that Games. And even though, you wish good on everyone, but he lost his first fight and I won gold. And I thought, okay, well,
Bit of karma.
I'm happy with that.
I've put in a lot of hard work and made so many sacrifices, but I just want this so bad. Nothing was going to stop me tonight.
I was completely robbed against the guy that Andrew already had history with. But then for me, obviously I was stoked for Andrew that he's going to the Commonwealth Games. And then I go home and just felt like a loser. Like everyone's asking, oh, how are you going? Oh, are you going to the Commonwealth Games? And, you know, they're seeing all these photos of Andrew in the newspaper and they're all asking me, oh, are you going as well? I was like, No, I'm not going. Stop asking me.
Sick of it.
And it was hard because I was so happy for Andrew, but Andrew's overseas training, living the life that we want to live. He's overseas fighting at all these competitions, and I'm at work as a landscaper digging holes. And it was just miserable. And, you know, every day there was just this reminder that you're a loser. You know, you're not good enough. Like, and then as soon as you start getting over it a bit, then the Commonwealth Games comes on TV and I'm sitting at home, coming home from work every day going, oh, the Commonwealth Games is on tonight. Oh, Andrew's fighting tonight. And we'd have all the family over, and so great to watch Andrew and watch him succeed. And but I should have been there. I should be over
and
there
with him.
And
rightfully so. It's not like one of those I should have because you just felt that I should have been there. You should have been there.
Yeah. And then
straight up, you earned it.
And then, as Andrew said, the guy that went instead of me loses the first fight. And then the guy that wins the gold medal in my weight division, I'd beaten before.
Yep.
That was obviously frustrating and hard, but then obviously so great to sit at home and watch Andrew go over there and win the gold medal for our country. And, you know, watching him get out of the ring and run over to my dad and brother, and they're all hugging and, you know, just the most proud moment that our family's ever had. And then,
can I ask you, Jace, why, if your dad and your brother were there and other family members, why didn't you go?
I think because I was working. Like, I'd already taken a fair bit of time off work to do all the trials and everything. And I was pretty respectful to my boss and didn't want to let him down again. So I was like, no, look, I'll just sit at home. I'll keep working and try and earn some money and move on with life.
I think that once again starts to show and give people a bit of an idea of how professional you guys are. I mean, the talk about you both today is the professionalism and the standard that you hold and how you hold yourself. Hearing this at such a young age with every reason to just stick your middle finger up and say punch it and rebel against it even, which a lot of people would.
Yeah,
you didn't. You've obviously taking it on with a lot of pain, especially knowing that Andrew's there. Yeah. You know, the one person in the world you'd probably want on your shoulders with a gold if it wasn't both of you.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, you've had to honour your boss.
Yeah.
Swallow the fucking loss and do you even call it a loss? Because, okay, yes, if we're going to be a sportsman and professional about it, it's a loss because we have to be humble and accept that. Mm. But the bottom line is you didn't lose anything, you know, other than the chance to go and represent your country, which is huge.
Yeah.
So you did lose something, mate, like, and at the hands of somebody else's. So, you know, like, I've got to give you credit.
Yeah, thanks,
you
mate.
You know, it really takes a certain sort of caliber of person. And I think you guys and your mindset now obviously is starting to fall into place from all these trials and
errors. Well, that's it. It hasn't been you know, all sunshine and rainbows. It's been a pretty bloody hard journey, but, you know, that's what makes it so, you know, that's what makes it so special when you achieve something, that it hasn't just been given to you. We've worked our asses off for this, and we've been through some pretty hard moments, but just stuck at it and stuck at it, and now we're pretty close to both achieving our dreams, and, you know, when we do finally both become world champions, it's going to be a very, very special moment because, as I said, the amount of hard work and sacrifices and heartbreak that's been involved in the journey.
Yeah, so I was just absolutely over the moon. Like, couldn't believe that I won gold. Like, that was everything that we'd done over the last, whatever it was, that stage, 10, 12 years. Was everything, every training session, every sacrifice, every heartbreak was all worth it for that moment. That was the most, unbelievable feeling. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of Jason back home going, fuck, I feel sorry for him. The only thing that gave me, you know, was made me more comfortable was the fact that Jason had set himself a new goal and he was going to turn professional about 3 weeks after I returned home from Glasgow. He had his professional debut and that gave him something to focus on and something to look forward to, and I knew that that was going to, yeah, really, really push him to put in the hard work and be getting ready for that and something exciting coming up to take his mind off things. My sort of thought was that we'll get home and focus on his debut. He can get that out of the way, knock someone out, and then we'll go out and celebrate together.
Do you drink at all? I mean, not now, but have these...
Yeah, we'll
go out and celebrate. Are you just like every other fella out there?
So we'll
go out and have a drink at all.
We'll go out and celebrate after a big win and have a couple of beers with mates. But you know, I've drank once in the last 12 months, so it's not
even a thought. You've got a goal, and that goal is to be number one.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah,
the best of the best.
But there is a good beer company around at the moment, Wingman Beer.
Wingman Beer.
What is it?
Check it out.
Wingman Beer.
Wingman Beer. How do I get some of this, Jase?
Yeah, we'll hook you up. We'll
Number one beer on the Gold Coast and soon will be number one in Australia.
Just tell me it's not one of these pretty boutique-y, you need a little man bun to drink at beers.
No, it's not a craft beer. It's a
real man's beer.
It's a proper real man's beer, yeah.
Mate, if I can get some out here, what was it again?
Wingman Beer.
Wingman Beer. When does it go on sale?
It's on sale now.
Is it a light? Is it a full strength? A lager?
They got both. They even got the zero. They got it all. But they're about to take off. They're going to be Australia's number one soon.
Fight is stopped. TKO victory. It is over. Jason Mayhem Maloney.
Another thing too, like I think Jason's right, is that you've got to have that goal. That's what's really kept us positive and kept us going through the really hard times. But in saying that too, I think you got to taste, you know, the lows to really, you know, enjoy the highs.
Never too old to have dreams. And one thing you said when we first walked in is that you want to push the limits, and that's what it's about. Why live life in this comfort zone and never know how good you could have been or how far you could have gone at something? Push the limits and test yourself and don't set limitations on yourself.
The way I feel at the moment, like I just lost my world title in my last fight in June. And
you did, yes.
That's my most recent low moment and that was extremely, extremely difficult.
Fighting out of the red corner. He weighed in at 114.6 pounds, wearing white trunks with black trim. He brings a perfect record, 21 wins, no losses, 14 wins coming by way of knockout, making his first world title defense. He is the reigning WBA super flyweight champion of the world, Andrew the Monster Maloney! This bout is scheduled for 12 rounds for the WBA Super Flyweight Championship of the World.
And the way I see it now and the way I'm looking at it is that, you know, those lows make, you know, the good moments that much sweeter. And when I got this rematch in my next fight in November and I get my world title back, it's just going to be that much sweeter.
And you've beaten this chap before, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No? So we fought in June. He beat me. But this is my chance to... We got the rematch, and it's my chance to get revenge and to get my world title back. And as I said, you know, that the lows and the heartbreak I felt in June, when I win in November and get that world title back, it's just going to be that much sweeter.
Okay, sorry. So this is the person that did win the world title. You've getting a rematch with him straight up.
Yep.
That's very fast.
It's lit a fire inside of me. I've been training that hard, and I just can't wait for this fight.
What's your ranking at the moment, Andrew?
I think they dropped me down number 3 in the world, but we'll change that. I'll get that world title back. I won that world title, but that first defense was, it was just devastating just to lose it that way. And in my American debut and first fight with Top Rank and headlining a big show at the MGM, it felt like that was my moment to really, you know, show everyone what I could do. And I felt like I really let myself and my team
downhill down the stretch.
You know, were you feeling that you sort of were definitely falling behind on the scorecard? I mean, what was going through your mind?
No, it was a back and forward fight. I started really well, but things went wrong, and I perforated both my eardrums and got cut inside my mouth and above my eye, and had a broken nose. And I knew things weren't going all my own way, but at no stage did I give up. And I knew things were close, and I knew that I could still pull it off. Until the last second, I still thought that maybe I'd pulled it off and still held that belt. But
at what round did that start? Did you put? Because mate, that's your balance. Equalization is gone.
Yeah.
How many rounds after that did you pursue?
So round four, my eardrum left one went. So we went the 12 rounds, and I thought maybe I still might have nicked it on points. But wasn't to be. He just got the decision, and yeah, it was a very, very hard pill to swallow, and went to hospital that night and sat in that bed, and yeah, another very low moment.
Is the undefeated current medalist Andrew Maloney.
Maloney just found his rhythm, ladies and gentlemen.
It's amazing what your body can do when you want something so bad. That's what I think it is.
You think it's mine? They reckon it's you know,
yeah, it's 100%.
80% is mine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like they reckon, even when you're at that point where you're at exertion,
yeah,
you've got so much more to give. Absolutely. We all hit that level and go, I'm gassed, you know, I can't go any further.
Yeah, you just, when you want something so bad, you'll put your body through hell, and that's what I was doing in that ring. That was a very tough fight, and the injuries I sustained, and still was thinking, no, I can still do this, I can still pull this off, I'm still in this fight, and yeah, fought to the end, but wasn't meant to be, but I've got my chance to redeem myself in November, and I can't wait.
I think you should be really, really proud of yourself, just on that point, and I don't think it'll get much worse.
Nah, no, not.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you talk about the resilience of you two men and what you have had to go through. You know, the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. There really is a story of redemption.
Mm.
Yes. There really, really is.
November 14.
The redemption.
Yeah.
I'm taking back my title. I am world champion. That's it. You are world champion.
Yeah.
I am world champion. And, you know, there's nothing in between that. You're going to bring back your belt.
For people that don't know.
Yeah, please, talk about
boxing,
it.
Like, top rank, promoted, Muhammad Ali, Floyd Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya, just about every
superstar.
Manny Pacquiao, just about every superstar that has been through boxing in the last, well, I don't know, 5 decades.
Well, I mean, let's go back, Muhammad Ali. Yeah, like, we're talking centuries.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is boxing. This is Top Rank. And this is the main event.
They've promoted the cream of the crop. Like, they're the best and biggest promotional company there is. And for us to be signed by them.
Both together. Yeah, not just this time being selected individually.
Yeah.
They see the potential in both of you, both Jason and Andrew.
Yeah, so the opportunities are endless. You know, I'll win on October 31st and Andrew wins on November 14th. And, yeah, the world's our oyster. We've got – these are life-changing fights for us.
Oh, and, mate. Yeah, and yeah, at the same time, I can see that you're both very humble.
Yeah.
But in the back of your mind, both knowing you're pretty special right now in the boxing game. Let's go back to Denny Green and Angelo Hyder, because I think that's a really important part of your career, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely, massive. Mate. Well, Greeny, when we first started boxing, our idol was Danny Green, with the first boxer we started following and supporting.
He's
and
actually a beautiful man.
Great man, great man. And, yeah, just loved Greeny and followed him.
You're getting all excited.
I was going to say, our dad's bar downstairs at his place, we had Greeny posters all over
the
wall.
That's so cool.
Just decked out. And,
Cool.
Oh, we met him in Las Vegas. We were over there just before the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, right.
It was a small little Mayweather fight night, I think, the night before. And, yeah, we were just at a smaller fight night the night before the big one, and saw Greeny in the crowd, and
he was trying to come down to the floor area where we were, which I don't know why we were down there and he wasn't. But anyway,
oh, so you guys had, I was about to say you had the really good bleachers. Seats. Greeny's just out the back, mate.
Yeah. So Greeny was trying to
come
down.
Sorry, not shoes for tonight, mate. You can't come in.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, Greeny was trying to come down and the security guard was telling him he couldn't. And we've seen.
Did they know who he was?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
He mustn't have. But
fuck, he would have put one on his jaw.
So we seen him from a distance, and I gone, "There's Greeny." Yeah. They won't let him in, so I've walked up there and shook his hand and given him my ticket so he could come down.
Yeah,
and said, "Take that, come down." And ended up having a chat with him, and absolute legend, and just got chatting, gave us his number, and just said, "Boys, when you get home, give us a call." And we'll
he was totally just adamant about. You guys catching up at home. Wasn't just like small talk because you were there and...
Yeah, we sort of put it on him a little bit. Like we told him how much we loved him and followed him and he was our idol and everything, but basically said that we just started out in the professionals. A little bit lost, I guess, just after some advice.
Did you give him the story of wanting to be an Olympian as he was?
No, we didn't go. Like, it was a pretty short chat, but we just said, mate, we'd love to catch up for a coffee if he'd be up for it and just have a chat. And, mate, being the legend that he is, was all for it. Gave us his number. And as soon as we got home from America, teed it up and caught up with him the following week. And we just sat down and he just said, look, I'll support you all the way. Any advice I can give you, here it is. And just steered us in the right direction because he can be as good a boxer as anyone in the world, but unless you've got the right people around you and the right people looking after you and giving you the right opportunities, you're not going to reach
the fight game, mate. it can be, you know, a sunny place for shady people.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, you guys are the ones that suffer.
Yeah.
In the end, you know, the promoters are out there and, you know, we all know good and bad promoters and I'm not going to sit here and belittle anybody or, you know, mention any names, but there's some real fucking shit people out there that don't care anything about the monetary side of it. They're not worried about you and your success and you're climbing your ladders and so on. They just wanted to put bums on seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, at that stage, we'd had, I think, 5 pro fights each, but we didn't have a manager, didn't have a promoter, didn't have any fight dates locked in and just basically sort of felt a bit lost and just needed some guidance. And Greeny took us under his wing and introduced us to Angelo and Tony, who started managing our careers and put us on his undercard for 2 of his fights. And
so Greeny still had a couple more fights, Andrew, after, okay.
Yeah, so he was still active and, put us on his undercard, which had obviously huge exposure and, you know, just a great experience to fight, you know, Adelaide in front of 30,000 people and it was packed out High Sense Arena and, introduced us to Angelo and Tony, who started managing our careers, and off we went, and we got the best team in the world. And
look at that smile.
Greeny set all that up. So
look at that smile, and that's I can see that it's just glowing. You're really happy where you are with who you got around you. Like,
yeah, absolutely, yeah, definitely. And you know what would have happened if we didn't bump into Greeny in Las Vegas? Like, it could have been
exactly because you know, yes, you had the potential. You guys could have been amazing.
Yeah,
but if you didn't have, like you said, the right cornerman, you'd be stuffed.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So, yeah, everything happens for a reason. You bump into your idol from Australia on the other side of the world. And
you want to give him a big shout-out? Hopefully he listens to my podcast.
Yeah, Greeny, you listen. Hey? He knows we love him.
He's helped me out before. I actually messaged him about 18 months ago, I think it was. No, it was longer than that. It was when I was training to cycle around Tassie. I was carrying a few extra kilos. I just struggled to lose weight. And he gave me one of these programs that he does. And he was so helpful.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to. Yeah. You know, like, he's got thousands of people that, you know, he interacts with. And the last person he needed to worry about was just an overweight bloke wanting to ride a push bike. But, mate, he messaged me. He gave me the time. He helped me. He gave me a code. Didn't charge me anything.
Yeah.
And, mate, right then I was just like, wow, what an absolute legend.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly right. He's got time for everyone. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, boxing does have a bit of a stereotypical, you know, bad image, but there's so many great people in the sport. And, you know, we want to try and change that face of boxing and show that, you know, there is good blokes in the sport and trying to, you know, inspire the next generation and maybe even get some parents over the line and let, you know, the sport blossom in Australia, get the young kids involved and, you know, help grow the sport as much as we can.
And it is very healthy. I think it's great for discipline.
Mm, yeah.
It's great, you know, for their growth.
Yeah.
So you're fighting, what date?
October 31st.
Jason, what are you fighting?
October 31st in Vegas, so that'll be November 1 here.
Probably the biggest.
Yeah, well, this is at the MGM Grand. But
so that's where all the big shit happens.
This is where the big shit happens, but at the moment it's in the bubble, they call it. It's, yes. There's no crowd. There's.
I'd hate to fight without a crowd.
Yeah, mate, it's hard because obviously fighting in front of a packed out audience is the most unbelievable feeling.
In the MGM, the greatest of the greater fort.
So obviously, like, those moments you've just got to just soak them in and be like, I'm probably only going to do this 20, 30 times in my whole life. You know, you got to try to enjoy that moment and that, you know, that buzz of that crowd really does just sort of, you know, give you this massive burst of energy. But at the same time, when we fought in the bubble with no crowd, it wasn't as different as I thought it would be.
No?
I still walked out to the ring with no one at all, no noise, no crowd cheering, and I had goosebumps and hairs on the back of my neck standing up, and I was like, this is it, this is the real deal, because for us, they were the biggest fights of our lives.
Absolutely.
And there was millions of people watching on TV, but also this is my opportunity that Top Rank had let me headline my own show in Las Vegas, and I knew if you win this fight, you're pretty much guaranteed a shot at the world title, which is obviously my dream. So I just felt this massive sense of, you know, a big occasion. And even though there's no crowd there or anything, I was just amped up, like, this is it. This is a big moment. And it didn't really bother me. And then as soon as you step through the ropes and you're in there with just you and your opponent, then it was just game on. Business as usual.
Right. He's right. Yeah. Business as usual.
I added a bit of pressure to him that fight too, because that was 2 days after I took that loss. He had to back it up and get in the ring and redeem which Maloney game. We're two Aussie kids at this massive company America's just signed, you know, with big hopes for and, you know, a bit of hype around us. And after what feels like a very embarrassing and terrible performance.
When you say embarrassing and terrible, are you talking about the fight you just lost?
Yeah.
I want to ask you, because I've just sat here and heard you speak. I know what happened to you in that fight. I've heard it once again directly from you. I don't know many fighters, male or female, that would be able to physically continue on. I don't accept what you just said. I can't apologise for it, because, mate, I'm that guy that's looking at you going, wow. Yeah, I understand being critical on yourself and we all do, you know, we judge ourselves probably a little bit harsh sometimes. But, mate, fuck, you need to... There's that slap in the face, buddy. You're a fucking warrior, mate. You are an absolute... I get it, okay. You didn't continue to hold that belt after that fight. But they're harsh words to put upon yourself, what you just said.
Yeah, but that's how I feel. Yep. I'm still embarrassed by the performance and I've got the opportunity to put it right in November, and that's what I'm going to do. I felt like I'd put a lot of pressure on Jason to show that, you know, they done the right thing by signing us and, you know, we are the real deal. And basically that pressure was on Jason to perform and show him what we can do. And he saved us.
I just wanted this so bad. I'm so driven and so dedicated, and I just want this so much. This is the biggest opportunity of my career, and I'm so happy now. This is the best moment of my career, and this makes all the sacrifices and all the hard work worthwhile, and this is a big step towards me fighting for another world title, and I want that dream. I want that belt so bad.
So, yeah, Jason put on a really, like, unbelievable performance in that fight. And then set himself up for what's coming up next, which is probably the biggest fight for an Australian boxer in the last who knows how long.
I'm just going to be straight out. I've been told that you're the underdog in this fight.
Yeah, big underdog.
How do you feel about that?
I love it.
You like it?
Yeah, love it. Everyone thinks I'm, you know, crazy for taking the fight. They place this man on this pedestal and think he's this unbeatable person. And I just don't see it, mate. I believe in myself, and I want to be the best that I can be in this sport, and I want to achieve something special. So for me, this the ultimate challenge. You know, a fight. You know, a fight that's going to change my life. This is a fight that it will, I can achieve every single one of my dreams. I can be, you know, I want to be the number one bantamweight in the world.
So tell us about your opponent, Jason.
Well, he's the number one bantamweight in the world, Naoya Inoue. He's a Japanese fella. He's
Japanese, okay, that's different.
Yeah, and he holds the WBA world title, the IBF world title, and the Ring Magazine world title. He's regarded as most people sort of top three pound for pound fighters in the world. And yeah, he's unbeaten. And obviously, everyone expects him to go on and do very, very special things. But and
like Andrew's just said, this is one of the biggest, if not...
is exactly. And that's what
excites
me. Especially
in Australian boxing history. And world stage. You go and you win the title, mate. You've just knocked off the best of the best.
Exactly.
You can't... You're him now.
Yeah, that's it. He's where I want to be. So that's what excites me. And that's why I want this fight so bad. And yeah, if I win this fight, which I fully believe I will, this will be would have to be probably the biggest win by an Australian boxing in our history.
Is he more an attacking fighter?
Yeah, he's
very aggressive.
Yeah,
so he's got a big heart. The guy can fight, obviously.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't be where he is had he not.
So his last fight went 12 rounds, but the four before that, or three or four before that, he knocked out in the first round. So there's this big hype around him, and he is a magnificent fighter. It's powerful. So, Jason's the underdog, that's for sure. But you know, you got to dare to be great in this sport, and I believe Jason's also a special fighter, and this is his chance to change his life, and this will be the biggest win by an Australian boxer in history, and I've got confidence he's going to pull it off.
You know, like I would love for everyone to be able to be there and watch me achieve my
dreams.
Who
can go with you?
Just Andrew, my coach, and my manager, basically.
So, okay, you're not fighting there. So, realistically, it's not your fight.
No.
But they allow you to travel together, or is this... How's that work? Like, is it something that they believe is a better mental preparation to have you together on the trip, or is it just... he's your brother and he can come.
No, well, so Andrew's fight isn't officially locked in or announced, but we're hoping, and it's been good talks, that Andrew's fight's going to be 2 weeks after mine. So,
In Vegas.
So
this could be really handy for your prep and lead
that's
up.
That's it. So we'll go over there, train together,
do this. Is this first coming out here on the clink?
Yeah, you've heard it here first on the clink.
Woohoo! There we go.
So we'll go over there together. We're going to go over there. We leave next week. So we'll be over there a month before my fight.
And thank you both too. And I'm not ending this right this moment, but I just want to say this is for everybody out there listening. These times right now are very, very private times. They're head down, bum up for a fighter.
Yeah.
To give this audience, you guys out there, to be here with me, mate, I just want to say thank you to you both from that, just whilst we're here, because these are important hours each day. You know, you've both got family, partners, which is where you need to be when you're not training, I guess, you know, around those that love you and just staying focused. So I just wanted just to throw that in there, that I'm really, really honoured, eh?
Nah, it's our pleasure, mate.
It's
you're doing a great job with the podcast, and we've enjoyed listening to a few, so our pleasure to be here.
So we'll be leaving next week. And we'll be over in Vegas for a month before my fight, doing some good hard training and got some good sparring organised over there. And then Andrew will fight 2 weeks after me, we're hoping. So we'll be there for 6 weeks before his fight. And then we'll fly home with four world titles around our waists.
Three
for me, one for Andrew. I might let him hold one.
Just to even the weight up, you reckon? What if they sit you down and they say, "Hey, you know, you've got too much weight in that luggage compartment. You need it. So you've got to carry it. Hey, you've got to carry it." And those belts, you know, they're a beautiful piece of jewellery, aren't they?
They are. Yep. They are. And they're what we've been chasing our whole life. So for us to come home with four world titles, we'll spend 2 weeks in quarantine and then we'll be away from our families for 8 weeks, which we've just got back from being away from them for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty tough year being away from our families because they're so young. But these are the sacrifices you got to make.
My son's 14 months old and Jason's got an
18-month-old daughter. Yeah.
So
beautiful.
It's
times.
Hard to be away beautiful from them for times. So long. But you know the light at the end of the tunnel is sitting in that hotel quarantine when we get back. We've been having four world titles sitting there and it'll be worth it then.
A lot of Australian fighters have gone overseas and fallen short, and full credit to all of them, not having to go at any of them, but it's been hard to watch, and I guess it sort of sets limitations on the rest of the generation coming up, saying, oh look, another Aussie's fallen short. I want to really change that, and Andrew really wants to change that too. We want to go over and fight the best and beat the best and show everyone what can be done. And, you know, once someone sees someone can do it, then that'll give them belief and they go, oh, I can do it. And hopefully it'll start a real charge and put Australian boxing back on the map.
Just when you hit on Australian boxing, I want to ask you a question. Now, this particular fighter, I've trained out of the same gym as him. He's a lovely bloke. He switched from Muay Thai to boxing. You probably already know who I'm about to ask, but Benny Mahoney.
Yeah, yeah.
Like... Cool cat.
Yeah, he's a cool
cat. Plenty of pounce in his step, that's for sure. You know, like, mate, powerful, classy, talented.
Yeah.
And, like, I bring his name up because I know how disciplined he is. Mm-hmm. I know his mindset.
Yeah.
I know what he's putting in and what he wants out. And it reminds me of what we've talked about.
Yeah.
You know, the way that you guys, like you're saying, during COVID, the discipline. I know mm-hmm. Benny hasn't taken one iota out.
Yeah,
like he's. How do you think someone like him will do?
Well,
you
good.
Know, you've been in the game a long time. You know someone with potential.
Yeah. I haven't properly met Benny properly in person, but I do follow him and I see what he, you know, how dedicated he is and how professional he is. You know, in terms of his approach towards the sport. And
he's got a moustache like you.
He's got a great moustache.
Yeah, Andrew hasn't got the little mo?
No.
He's got a great moustache. Yeah, Benny.
Yeah, Benny's got a
good moustache. Hey, the boys are fans. You like his mo, Andrew?
Yeah. It's beautiful. No, he does seem like a really good bloke. But he's another one where it's been a shame because I think he was on the verge of having some really big fights this year and international fights as well. But unfortunately, with COVID, it's put him sort of on the back burner. But
he has that mindset, though. Like
he's still
the way you speak,
yeah,
and how you guys have your mindset,
yeah.
You know, Benny's on that same path.
Yeah, I can.
Is
I can
that
see
world?
Just
is that world champion material?
Yeah,
yeah. Just I can see just by following him, how dedicated he is and how professional he takes the sport, how serious he takes it, and. Yeah, I think he's got a big future.
For everybody that's out there that hears this and, you know, for a young and up-and-coming fighter or someone that's been in the game a long time that just hasn't had that time to shine, well, what would you say to them?
Well, I suppose, like...
Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you're all right. I was waiting to see who was going.
No, it's good. It's good.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose what we touched on today, like, probably didn't realise that much until we were spoken about it today, just sort of how many lows there's been, and you know that you've got to pick yourself up and you know stay focused and set the goal and keep chasing it, and you know the highs are worth it, and we've had you know more highs than lows thankfully, and I wouldn't change it. If you could show me what we've been through over the last 17 years, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd still give it 100%, and we're blessed to be able to do something we love for a living. And I mean, as I said earlier, to taste the lows to really enjoy the highs, and it's all worth it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely beautifully put, Chase.
Yeah, well, it's not.
I'm going to ask this individually. You're two people now.
No, well,
and you're not allowed to copy his fucking words
either.
No. Block your ears.
I think the thing for us is that, and the thing that for anyone, and it doesn't have to be boxing, but it is for us, obviously, is that just give it everything you've got. You know, we've always given this sport 100%, and whether you end up reaching your goal or not, as long as you can sit back at the end of the day and say, I was the best I could be. I reached as far as I could get, and I achieved as much as I possibly could out of myself. I think you can be happy, because unless you've pushed the limits, like we spoke about before, unless you've given something absolutely everything you've got and, you know, devoted your whole life to it, you're never going to know what could be done. So dare to be great and give something absolutely everything you've got, and you should be proud of how far you've come.
Give your sponsors a wrap, guys. Who are we fighting with?
Well, we've got a few new ones on board, but Forest One and the Plumbing and Pipe Trades Employees Union have been with us since day one, and we wouldn't be where we are now without them. So they're the first two.
Yep, and Oxmar Properties have just come on board, and they're a massive supporter of ours, which is unbelievable. We touched on Wingman Beer.
Hey, listen, do you know anybody... Because you guys are working with the fight dietitian, aren't you?
Yeah. We are working with the fight dietitian.
Right, yeah. The fight dietitian. Yeah. I need help. can you hook me up with a discount thing or anything, can you, to get me some plant-based? I want to go plant-based.
Plant-based, yeah.
Yeah, well, mate, look, I'm a good-looking 44-year-old. I can be better.
Geordie will be able to hook you. You'll get you real shredded. Don't worry about that.
Yeah?
Get on the TikTok.
Can I say that I know you both?
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah.
Oh,
get,
far out.
Get on
now.
The TikTok meals. You don't have to cook it. They'll sort you out.
So you can eat them raw?
No, you heat them up.
No, they cook them. Well, they cook them. You can just eat them. But we just heat them up, and Jordan works out what we eat, and they make them for us. And
Bell Partners, McGrath, True Health Solutions, and Pain Away Australia.
And Mr. Angelo Hyder, is there anything you want to say about this amazing human?
Yeah, well, we think he's the best trainer in the world. We packed our bags 3 years ago from Melbourne because we wanted to train with Angelo Hyder, because we thought that he could get the best out of us. And you've only got a short career and you know, one chance at achieving your dreams. And we thought he's a man that can take us as far as we can get. So we've been training with him for the last 3 years and just improved leaps and bounds. And we know 100% we made the right decision. H's most notable fighter was probably Danny Green.
Sure.
He also trained Victor Chinian, a bunch of other.
He was a great fighter.
World champions. We got linked up with him through Greeny, and then we just, mate, in terms of someone being able to read a fight, H just is leaps and bounds above anyone that I've ever met. With my last fight in particular, you'll see me run over to my corner and I hug H, we're talking for quite a while, and I was basically just couldn't believe how well the game plan that he sent out worked to an absolute T.
You followed it though, that's the key.
I followed it, yeah. So pat on the back. But He sat down when we were in Vegas and watched my opponent, and I can watch an opponent. I don't mind, sort of,
of course,
picking bits and pieces.
It gets boring, but after a while.
At the end, I don't like to use too much of my energy on that. I like to focus on myself a bit more. So I let H watch him and saw him keep watching him, and eventually, we'd sit down and watch it together, and he'd say, this is going to work. Got to be careful in this situation. Don't avoid this situation, but this is going to work. And if this doesn't, this is plan B. And, mate, every single thing he said worked. And I was in the fight in the inside with this tough Mexican, and I'm just going, H was exactly right. He's bang on. Everything's working. And
what a great feeling, yeah, but knowing
to have that. Yeah, to have that is such an asset, because we aren't just going in there and using this raw ability and everything. We've got this plan and this asset in the corner who's just reading the fight and telling us what to do. And, mate, we just listen and follow instructions, and we know that we're in good hands.
Yeah, look, I haven't met personally Angelo Hyder, but I know people that work very closely with him, and I cannot wait for the opportunity to go down and meet the man and listen.
Yeah.
Because,
come down, mate. Welcome.
I would love to. And Guys, I would love to catch up with you after you bring your world title back. Go and lap it up and enjoy it and really celebrate it, because it is something very, very special. And I think, you know, through your highs and lows, this will be the biggest high of your life together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Jason, Andrew.
It's been a pleasure, mate.
Maloney's, boys, I'm honoured. And thank you for being on the clink and sharing your story of redemption.
Thanks, Aiden. Our pleasure. Thanks, mate, and all the best.
Yeah, for the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow any stunt for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.
Want to thank a new sponsor who's just come on board, Dr. Pickles Tattoo Aftercare and Lifestyle Products. They're made in Brisbane and are known right around the world. They have this amazing balm. It's called the Original Tattoo Balm. You seal and protect your tattoo with the OG. I've just been using it on my leg after I had it done, and I tell you now, my skin feels amazing and there's a great shine to it. They also have an antiseptic spray you can spray on and wipe over your tattoo to keep it nice and clean so you don't get any infections. They've got a 3-in-1 wash. It's all natural, smells great, packed full of peppermint, citrus, and wait for it, hemp oils. How good's that? Plus, they have a SPF 50 sunscreen, which acts as a moisturizer as well as protecting your tattoos from fading and stop them from getting sun damage. Right now, though, for the Clink listeners, they're offering 15% off with the code CLINK. Just head to drpickles.com. That's drpickles.com.